Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. This is the reading of God's Word. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus says some surprising things in these verses. Things that are, if we're not familiar with them, as shocking as they were intended to be. Now, if you've read this and heard this over and over again, it's like, yeah, I've heard that. But I want you to try and put yourself in the position of hearing this for the first time. Jesus says that it's better to be missing your eye or your hand or your foot than it is to be going into temptation and sin. How seriously do we take sin? Well, all of this conversation came in response to a question. The disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? How's the ranking arranged?" I remember years ago trying to grasp, because I had various relatives, one who'd been a major, one who'd been a captain, and a brother who'd been a lieutenant. And so I'm trying to figure out how that ranking works when I'm a little kid. And of course, it depends in part on branches of the military. The Army doesn't have admirals. Okay, and what's the difference between an admiral and a rear admiral? And is a lieutenant colonel a lot different than a lieutenant? And if you're a major general, how different is that from a major? Or from just a regular general? I mean, I'm trying to understand all the rank, and the disciples were trying to understand, where do we fit? Okay? How's this ranking done? What's the authority structure? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, you're not even going to get into the kingdom unless you change. You don't have to worry about rank because you won't be there. Who's the greatest? Jesus calls a child to him. Talk about unexpected. I love the fact that there were usually children around where Jesus was. That tells you something about his personality. He attracted children. He didn't repel them. He wasn't always chasing them away. I believe it shows us something about Jesus' sense of humor as well. Because kids tend to respond to somebody who's got a sense of humor. Right? Especially if it's a kind sense of humor, not somebody who's always doing humor at the children's expense. So Jesus calls a little child to him. And, I mean, that was when they said, who is the greatest? He called a child, had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that had to be a shock. That's not what these guys were expecting. I had three older siblings. My sister was kind to me. She was 10 years older than I was. And she thought I was wonderful, just adorable, intelligent, good-looking, virtuous. I, of course, think she's magnificent. But my brothers had an expression that they would use from time to time on me, and it was, oh, stop acting your age. Now think about that, because usually the expression is, act your age. Okay? Or you've perhaps heard the variant, act your age, not your shoe size. Right? And the idea is you don't want to act like a little kid. Grow up. Be mature. Jesus is saying the reverse. And that is, you guys are so stuck on being grown-ups, being mature, being sophisticated, that you are missing what is needed if you're going to be a part of the kingdom. And what is it exactly? What is it about children that is commended in this passage? Because Jesus doesn't leave us wondering if that means we have to be short. Okay? Oh, I can't help it. I had a growth spurt and now I'm not like a little child. Jesus says, unless you humble yourself like this child. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to come right back to this, but I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is the name above all names. And why was he exalted to that place? because he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and was humbling himself even to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Jesus says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to change. That doesn't come naturally to us, even when we're little children. Many of us as kids couldn't wait to grow up because we wanted respect. We wanted to be somebody. We wanted to do something that would call people's attention to our greatness. Jesus says, you won't get into the kingdom unless you change and humble yourself. And stop trying to be big and start trying to be obedient. So, children and humility are highly valued in God's kingdom. Well, no, I don't think that's necessarily the case because, I mean, the humility part, yes, but Jesus was just using the child as an example. It's not necessarily saying that children are the center of the story. Children aren't the center of the story. God's the center of the story. But God has a special love for children. So much so that Jesus says in verse 5 and 6, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Jesus takes personally how we treat children. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Have you ever noticed on the sign outside the Welcome Center that we have this reference? Have you noticed that? Why? Because I want people who are coming in, parents, guardians, grandparents, social workers, to ask, what is that verse? It's a verse saying you're better off dead than to lead children into sin. That's what the verse is. Jesus doesn't say that a person who leads children into sin might as well die. Jesus says, oh, they'd be better off dead. How we treat children matters profoundly to God. And the worst thing you can do to a child is to lead them into sin. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Second point is that sin is deadly serious, so flee temptation. Not only would you be better off dead than leading a child into sin, look at verse 7 and following. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. How serious is sin? It's deadly serious. The wages of sin is death. It's horrible. It's devastating. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have 2 hands or 2 feet and be thrown into eternal fire. Sin will affect the whole person. It may be hidden for a while, but it'll affect the whole person. And you will end up losing big time. So if you've got an area where you're infected, deal with that. Jesus says, if you've got a sin problem, cut it out. Get rid of it. Don't try to hide it. Get rid of it. So, it's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Jesus chose things of which we have two, hands, feet, eyes, because he's not talking about physically doing surgery on yourself. He's talking about dealing ruthlessly with the sin problem in your life. If my eye is causing me to sin, is it just one of them? Well, yeah, because I always just go around like this, keep the other one in reserve. Okay. If that's your problem, getting rid of that one eye wouldn't do the trick, would it? Likewise, it isn't really your hand that's causing you to sin. Problems with our heart, we need a new heart. But we have to take a ruthless approach to dealing with sin and temptation. It is not a sin to be tempted. But if you feed the temptations, you are running into sin. The Bible tells us to flee youthful lusts. Run from them. Don't think, well, I'm just going to resist temptation. I'm going to get as close as I can to the edge. No! Flee youthful lusts. Got it? Go the other way. But then Jesus comes back to this business of children. Verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. Apparently the child is still standing there. Okay? Jesus is teaching about losing eyes and hands and feet and going to hell in front of children. Let me just say, children need to know the truth. They need to be taught the truth, and they need to hear it from their parents, and they need to hear it from their pastors. And I have many times told various congregations, if you don't want your kids to hear the truth, don't let them hear me. So Jesus turns to this child and then says to his disciples, see to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The representative advocates on behalf of these children have direct access to the Father because God cares especially about children. Children are not insignificant little somethings that the rest of us have to put up with until they grow to the point where they're significant. Children matter to God. He cares deeply about them. That's why this ministry exists. And then Jesus says, what do you think? Verse 12. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. God not only cares for children, he cares about each individual. God cares about each individual. Well, could you kind of summarize the whole thing? Because you gave us now several points, and would there be kind of one anchor statement for the whole thing? Yeah, I'll give you one. God loves people and hates sin. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Well, sort of. But I want you to understand something. The reason that sin is such a hideous thing is not only because God hates it, but God's hatred for sin is tied to his love for people. Sin destroys. I hate strep throat. I've had strep throat. I've had strep a number of times. Well, see, you know it's no big deal. No, I know it is a big deal. And I know it can have, in rare circumstances, way worse consequences than most of us could ever imagine. Strep is a potentially deadly bacteria. It's a horrible germ, nasty stuff. Strep is something you don't want to get. The reason is because of the damage that it does. You can end up with a bad heart valve as a result of a strep infection. And if you've had your heart valve replaced, like I have, every time you go to the dentist for the rest of your life just to have your teeth cleaned, you've got to take antibiotics ahead of time and during and after. Because your heart is more susceptible to strep getting lodged in the valve and killing you. Strep is nasty stuff. It's so tiny. It's so, you know, it's just little bitty thing. You don't have to be able to see something for it to be significant. And the reason I hate strep is because of the damage that it can do. It doesn't just give you a painful throat. It can do other bad things to you. It can damage your eardrum permanently. Should we? Is it okay for us to leave this room afterwards, or are we going to run into strep? You're likely to run into strep, and hopefully your immune system will be such that you will not develop an infection. Well, let me help you understand. Sin is much worse than strep. Sin is much worse than strep, because strep can cause damage. Sin does cause harm. Strep can, sin does. You get the contrast? But I can get forgiven for sin. Our forgiveness cost Jesus the cross. Anytime you think sin is no big deal, look at the cross. Sin is a huge deal. God hates sin. God loves people. If you think that in order to love people, you've got to be accepting of sin, well, you know, we're just supposed to love everybody. And so, you know, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And there are a lot of people in our culture and in our churches right now who are trying to say, if you love me, you will celebrate the way that I am. That's not love. Sin is not okay. It's deadly. God hates it. And to say to somebody, this is evil because God says it's evil, is not unloving, it is loving. If I go to the doctor with strep and he says, no big deal. Okay, it's fine. Okay, hopefully you'll get over it. He's not being kind to me. He's being irresponsible. He's lying, and that's cruel. And when we deal with sin in our own lives or in somebody else's, if we just minimize it, it's no big deal. Not a problem. It's okay. You know, hey, we all make mistakes. You know, who am I to judge? That's not being kind. It's not being loving. We need to take seriously what God says. God says sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. Understand that. Believe it. Because unless we change, become like little children, we're not even going to enter the kingdom.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or
contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.